This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
We'll continue from where we had left off, talking about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are still talking about the situation of Arabia before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What people believe before the coming of the Prophet is to appreciate the blessings that the Prophet came with. When we understand pre-Islam, we will appreciate Islam. Just like we understand opposites. When we understand black, we understand white. When we understand night, we understand day. We always look at opposites to appreciate each thing. We contrast. So when we understand Jahiliyyah, when we understand the idolatry, paganism, that was prevalent in pre-Islam, we will appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave through our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by sending our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the world. Now we know that every nation had prophets. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. Every ummah had a prophet. So the Arabs as well had a prophet. And their prophet was, of course, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail. If the Arabs had a prophet, and if this prophet is Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is teaching Tawheed, where did paganism come from? Simple question. Ibrahim is upon Tawheed, one God. He doesn't have idols. Ismail, one God. Where does paganism come from? Our Prophet ﷺ told us, so then we have a historical fact because our Prophet ﷺ said it. Our Prophet ﷺ told us when and where paganism began and how it began. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. He said, I saw Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. He mentions one person. Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i wandering around in the fire of hell with his entrails cut open behind him. I mean, it was a very severe punishment. I saw Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i being punished in a humiliating manner. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, he was the first to baddala deen Ismail. Notice he said deen Ismail. Ismail's religion. Ibrahim and Ismail, they had a deen, they had a religion, that is Islam. The first person to change it was Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. And it is narrated that Amr ibn Luhay traveled to Syria. And the Syria, they had the Amaliq, the Amalekites. The Amaliq. And the Amalekites are mentioned in the Old Testament. And they are an ancient civilization. And they are a civilization, the Old Testament calls them, of giants. Meaning they were tall people. And they had structures and they had a civilization. And when he visited the Amaliq, the Arabic is called Amaliq, in English or in Western language is called the Amalekites. When he visited the Amaliq, he found them worshipping idols. And he found them to be this powerful civilization. So he said, what are these idols? So they said, these are our sources of power. When we're in drought, when we're in hunger, when the enemy attacks, we pray to these idols and miracles happen. So he said, can you gift me one of these idols? I'll bring it back home. I want to take it back. So they gave him an idol by the name of Hubal. Now the point being that Amr ibn Luhay brought back this Hubal and he put it in front of the Kaaba, and this was the first time that paganism started. So there are some books of history that mention that Shaytan inspired, i.e. through a dream, through whispering, to Amr ibn Luhay the names of the original idols that first began idolatry on this earth. And these are names mentioned in the Quran. How did idolatry begin? Allah mentions in the Quran, the people of Nuh were the first people to invent idolatry. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرَ. Five names. And Ibn Abbas mentions the story. And this is, you can imagine, this is at a time when there's only one village on earth. There's only one civilization. And these five people, complicated names, but these are the original men. Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. These five people were righteous men. good people. And when they died, the people built images, statues, icons of them to remind them of their piety. And slowly but surely, as generations kept on going, instead of just looking at the statue to be reminded of the piety, they began worshipping the statue. It's a stepping stone, as Shaytan used it. So it is said that Shaytan inspired Amr ibn Luhay to resurrect these five idols. Another Sahabi who accepted Islam, Abu Raja al-Utaridi. Abu Raja al-Utaridi mentions that before Islam came, we used to worship rocks and stones. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. We used to worship rocks and stones. And if we found a rock that looked more beautiful than the rock we were worshipping, we would throw that rock away and put the other rock in its place. And if we were traveling in the desert and we couldn't find a rock, listen to this, we would gather some sand, put it into a pile, bring a goat, squeeze some milk out of it to make the sand firm, and then do tawaf around that sand. Now, one of the most disgusting stories, to be honest, is that of Na'ila and Assaf. Na'ila and Assaf. Na'ila and Assaf were two idols. Na'ila was put on Safa, and Assaf was put on Marwa. And so the Quraysh, when they did tawaf, they would touch Na'ila and Assaf when they're going back and forth. When Islam came, the Muslims felt hesitant. How can we do sa'i when it's meant to commemorate Na'ila and Assaf? So Allah revealed in the Quran, the verses that we all know, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Safa and Marwa are holy before Na'ila and Assaf were put there. Safa and Marwa are from the signs of Allah. Before Na'ila and Assaf ever came. Safa and Marwa are from the signs of Allah. So whoever does Hajj, then let him, there is no sin on you if you do tawaf, i.e. sa'i, between them. There's no sin, meaning don't feel guilty. There's no evil in Safa and Marwa. What is Na'ila and Assaf? Aisha says that since we were children, we were hearing the story of Na'ila and Assaf, the legends that they have. Na'ila and Assaf, may Allah forgive us for even narrating such disgusting things, but this is what the books of history say. They were two lovers, male and female. Na'ila and Asaf, the Asaf is the male and Na'ila is the female. They were two lovers. And they could not find a place to be intimate because they were not married. Except the interior of the Kaaba. So they consummated their romance inside the Kaaba. And as a punishment, Allah destroyed them and solidified and petrified them right then and there. Now when the Quraysh came across them, they actually took them as a miracle. And they put these two on Safa and Marwa. And that is why the Muslims said, how can we do sa'i between Safa and Marwa? So Allah said, look, Safa and Marwa have nothing to do with Na'ila and Assaf. So this is the story of Na'ila and Assaf. Again, it shows you the paganism that the Jahili Arabs were upon. And we also know that when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, there were around 360 idols around the Kaaba. 360 idols of various shapes and sizes. Some idols were in the shape of full humans. Some were in the shape of animals. Most of them were in the shape of half human, half animal. And you know, to this day, the children's fairy tales, half horse and half, you know, human and half lion, and just like the Sphinx of Egypt or, you know, the centaurs, this type of theology. We read in the books of history that most of these idols were humanoid. A little bit of human, a little bit of animal. And they would then put these statues around the Kaaba. Also, we learn that the Quraysh had the theology that Allah has daughters. And that these daughters are His angels. And they would worship the angels. They would worship the angels thinking that these are the daughters of Allah. So they would consider the angels to be the daughters of Allah. Now the Arabs did not have a specified theology. They didn't have a creed. You know, we as Muslims, we have a creed. We believe in Allah and the angels, the day of judgment, Qadr. We have a creed. But the one thing that they all agreed upon is that we need to worship these idols to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have some form of idolatry. Does this mean that the entire society was idolatrous? No. History records that there were some exceptions to this rule, mentioning that in this dismal darkness, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, and that is exactly what Allah says in the Quran, that the Prophet says in a hadith, that أَلَا إِنَّ رَبِّي أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُعَلِّمَكُمْ مَا جَهِلْتُمْ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي يَوْمِ هَذَا. My Lord has commanded me to teach you that which you were ignorant of. And then he says, and before his coming, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى نَظَرَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَقَتَهُمْ عَرَبَهُمْ وَعَجَمَهُمْ إِلَّا بَقَايَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. The hadith is in Muslim, Sahih Muslim. Allah looked at the whole world and he despised everyone. مَقَتَهُمْ is more than كَرِهَهُمْ. It's the أَشَدِّ الْكَرَهَ. It's the most harshest. He despised them because of idolatry, because of jahiliyyah, because of paganism. فَمَقَتَهُمْ إِلَّا, except for بَقَايَا, some remnants of the people of the book. The teachers of Salman, right? These are the only people. إِلَّا بَقَايَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So the Prophet ﷺ is describing how the world was. And that is why we call it jahiliyyah. Utter jahiliyyah. And with the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, there will never be another jahiliyyah. And that is why Allah calls the Prophet ﷺ Nur. And Allah calls him Rahmatan lil'alameen. Because after the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, there is never going to be that type of jahiliyyah. And this shows us that a number of benefits, and this shall we conclude. Number one, the first really major benefit from all of this, and I want you to understand this point because wallahi it is so essential, living in the current climate where our religion is being bombarded by foreign ideas, by alien concepts, we're being told we have to reform completely and change our tradition. Number one, guidance only comes from Allah, not from our intellect, not from our philosophy, not from our rationalization. The world did not have a prophet or messenger for hundreds of years, from the time of Isa till the time of the Prophet. What happened? No philosopher could conceive of the truth. No theologian, no intellectual could guide mankind. Allah revealed the Quran to the Prophet and then Hidayah came. The Quran is the Hidayah. The Prophet ﷺ is the Nur. The Qur'an is the Shifa. Without Allah's guidance, there is no guidance. And why is this important? Because modern mankind believes that guidance is the cumulative experience of what we've done. We keep on modifying, we keep on adopting, we keep on changing. What is haram today will become halal tomorrow. What is halal today will become haram tomorrow. Our grandfathers thought this was not cool. We think it is cool. So be it, it is cool. We're progressive. We need to understand very firmly here, our guidance is the Qur'an and Sunnah, and that is the ultimate guidance. We're not going to change the Qur'an and Sunnah according to the whims of the society, according to the tastes and the culture of a generation. No, eternal truth. If mankind could not achieve guidance until Allah revealed it, then how can we? And if our Prophet ﷺ, Allah says in the Qur'an, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He could not be guided until Allah gave him the hidayah. And Allah says in the Quran, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know, this is addressed to the Prophet ﷺ, what was the book, what was iman, until we gave you the Quran. Our Rasul ﷺ, sitting in Ghar Hira, as we're going to come to next week, he did not know ultimate truth until Jibreel came down. Is anybody going to claim that modern philosophers are better than our Prophet ﷺ? That modern ethicists and moralists, theologians and whatnot, can just sit there in a room and contemplate and then come forth with how men should live? No. Allah says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. We're the ones who are going to tell you how to live your life. The second point of benefit, we'll just mention three, you have to finish up. The second point of benefit, we really understand, subhanAllah, that most of mankind are like sheep, in that they follow whatever the leaders say. Look at the Quraysh. They knew that this is not the religion of Ibrahim. But because everybody's doing it, it's just too difficult to break away. Deep down inside, they know something is wrong. But when all of society is doing a sin and a vice, it's easy to follow. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بمؤمنين. Most of mankind, even if you want them, they're not going to be believers. And Allah says in the Quran, if you follow the majority of mankind, they will lead you astray. Majority wants to follow desires. We have to be very frank here. The majority of mankind wants to be animalistic, hedonistic. They don't want Sharia, they don't want law. They just want to follow their desires. And Allah says, no, we have a law. And that law will tell you how to be a better human. And the final point that will benefit, and then inshallah we'll conclude for this week, the story of Salman tells us, and Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail tells us, a beautiful fact. Whoever is sincere will be guided. If there's good and there's sincerity, it doesn't matter if you're living in Jahiliyyah, it doesn't matter if you're in a pagan society in Iran, it doesn't matter if you're surrounded by idols, if your heart is pure and you have truth and you want to know the truth, Allah will guide you to the truth. Allah took Salman al-Farsi out of the depths of Jahiliyyah in a land which was not even a Christian land. And one by one he came closer to the truth until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him right in front of the feet of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we show sincerity to Allah, Allah shows rahmah and guidance.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا ربي تعود إلى رضا ربي.